Hi, everybody. It's Joanna. Welcome. This is our April training masterminding call, and I'm so happy to be with all of you today. So let's take a moment and just get centered and get settled. Wherever you are, I invite you to very consciously give over the next few minutes to yourself, to your soul, to your spirit. We spend so much of our time, so many minutes out of our days, giving our time over to others and other things, and that's not a bad thing. But it's so vital, it's so important to give time, truly, that's just for you, just to nourish your core, just to nourish your soul. And so I invite you to set the intention that the next few minutes are truly that for you. Taking note of the ground beneath you, the earth that's underneath that. And first just finding your breath, inhaling and exhaling. The breath doesn't need to look any way, simply wants to be an expression of your current rhythm, of your natural rhythm in this moment. It simply wants to have your awareness on it. And as you breathe, notice what your breath is telling you about where you're at in this very moment. Are you feeling rushed, or are you feeling peaceful? Are you feeling grounded and connected to your body and to the earth? Or are you feeling disconnected? Are you in your heart? Or are you in your mind? Are you in this moment? Or are you still in what you were doing a half hour ago? Without judgment on any of these things, just noticing. And asking yourself and asking your breath to lead you to a place of deeper connection, to lead you to a place of greater peace and calm. Asking your breath to assist your nervous system so that you can relax into this moment, into your body, into your full self. As you breathe and connect in this way, I invite you to watch the breath going in and out. Maybe you can even feel it right as it enters your nostrils and goes down. Notice as it goes in and notice as it comes back up and out. And then begin to focus down in your pelvic area, in your first chakra, right by your tailbone, your pelvic bone, in that area. And see if you can bring your breath all the way down, bringing loving focus to that area, particularly right by the tailbone. So maybe you can even just watch your breath go down your back, go down your spine, right to your tailbone area, and just really focusing love and energy and awareness to that place. And as you focus on your tailbone and hold it with sacredness and with love, I invite you to see as your tailbone grows either a tail or a root, as if you were a tree, and just visualize a tail or a root coming straight out of your tailbone and growing down, rooting itself into the earth, rooting yourself deep into the fertile ground of the mother, with feeling the tail, the root, connect deeply with the Great Mother. Maybe you can even feel the soil surrounding your tail or your root that's growing deep down, anchoring you, grounding you. And then as you breathe, use the breath to pull nurturing energy from the earth through your tail all the way up into your body. So breathing in and pulling that energy up from the earth all the way into you. And then with the exhale, letting that new nurturing energy take root in your body. Inhaling the energy up through the tail, through the root, from the earth. Exhaling and letting that earth energy settle inside of you exactly as it needs to. And as you continue to breathe in this way, placing a hand on your heart and connecting your tail with your heart, feeling the energy in your heart. Together, we'll take a nice deep breath in and exhale everything out with a sigh. So breathing in. And then allowing your eyes to flutter open, bringing yourself fully present to our time together today. So, the topic that I want us to take a look at today, and I see that not many of us are on the call today. I know Regina's in Peru, and Laura's got her retreat, and there's lots of activity going on. Is wanting to have a pretty interactive call today. We'll see how it goes. since right now there's only four of us, but I know that every circle is perfect. So I'm going to present what I wanted to present, and we'll do it as it needs to be. So what I wanted to take a look at today is I know that you guys are all in various ways, either right now actively or thinking about in the future your JV projects, because I gave that to you as an assignment. And I wanted to, I feel like you have so much information from me around the mechanics of the JV project. And for sure, if you have questions on your, mechanical questions on your projects, we can absolutely take a look at that today also. But what I've been noticing as I've been speaking to each of you about your project, or about the ways you've been avoiding your projects or stalling on your projects, or even if you're fully in it, like Melanie, I know that your page went live today. Yay! Even if you're fully in it, for each woman that I've been talking to about your projects, there's an inner element that's involved here. There's an energetic component that's always intermingling with the actual mechanics. And there's what I've noticed, and this happens for me too, and I want to talk a bit about this today. What I've noticed is that there's a lot of blocks that can come up around JV projects, for particularly for women who are at the level of EHA. I don't like to use the word interesting, but it's helpful to observe. You've all come so far over the years when it comes to standing fully in your power when you speak to your prospects and standing in your power when you're with your clients. Of course, there's always more to go there, but it's such a distinctive growth that is so visible at the level of EHA when it comes to being fully in your power and removing so many of the obstacles with prospects and with clients. But when it comes to partnering with others, some of those obstacles, those bigger rock obstacles, I see are still in the way. And this can show up either at the very beginning, just as you're even trying to think about, how am I going to partner with other people? And you get blocked, right? Or it can come up once you have the idea and you begin the outreach process, and there's a lot of fear around the outreach process, and will she partner with me, or is she big enough, or, all these different questions that come up. Or it can even just come up in that execution period, right? So-and-so said she would send out an email. She didn't. Do I say something? Don't I say something? What happens, right? Whereas, with a client, if a client didn't pay or show up for an agreement, there'd be no question, right? Or how do I interact with this person? Or, just all of these different pieces, all related back to what you've heard me share before, that I think relates back to what I call the sister wound. And a sister wound can look in so many different ways. It can look like I'm not good enough, or she's not good enough, or I'm going to be annoying, or she's going to reject me, or she's annoying, or I'm too much to handle, or I'm not part of the cool girls club, or I can only be friends, i.e. partner with someone who has this big of a community or who looks this way, or is she being mean to me, or, are we going to be BFF forever? Whatever the issue is, right, it comes up in these partnerships, even if you're partnering with men, right? I think more so if you're partnering with women, but it really comes up. So I wanted to share today, I wanted for us to open up discussion about this and just the different blocks that can come up as you move through your JV projects. And I also just wanted to share some of my own experiences around it, because I know that just in the naming of it and then you hearing some of my experiences, so much can be opened up and healed. I also wanted to, it's such a perfect moment because I just went through my own big joint venture project, and I wanted to share a little bit with you both the inner journey there as well as some of the methods that I used to make it so successful and the results that we saw and some of my learnings from all of that as well. So this will be sort of like, I'm going to be just pulling in and sharing different pieces. We'll open up for brainstorming, for discussion, for questions, and maybe I'll go back in and share some more pieces. We'll sort of see how it goes, and really, especially because it's such a small group today, what you are really needing and wanting around this, and I'll ask you more about that. So, I think some of the pieces that I want to share around the inner part of the JV, and I think I've hinted at this a little bit, but I don't think I've ever just said this flat out, and so I want to say this flat out now. I always before I do a JV project, I personally get really anxious because of fear. I'll get an idea for a really great project that I know is going to be amazing, and then the fear, and I start to think about who I would want to be involved in it, who I want to ask. And then the fear that always comes up is like, is she going to want to play with me? And for me, it's just so related to, growing up, middle school, not being part of the cool girls club, all of that. And as I look back at the ways that I've built my business, what I can really see is that so much of how I've built my business has to do with all of those middle school girl fears, and I'm just being totally honest. So I'm one of those coaches, I'm one of those mentors, I'm one of those leaders who is so close with the women that I serve, who constantly has, people that want to work with me, that want to be around me, that want to be part of the community. That's been pretty consistently just how it's been for me, which I'm so grateful for. But what I can also see is that I've really, in many ways, I'm not the coach that is BFF with a bazillion other colleagues. Right, and this becomes so apparent these days on Facebook, right? Again, just being honest, sometimes I scroll through Facebook, and I never, my jealous pangs never come up around she has this many clients, or she's making this much, or she's visible in this way. I feel like I have that, obviously I'm always working on that, but that's taken care of. Where my pangs come up is like, oh my God, there's that there's that click of really cool and successful coaches, and they know me, we've met before, but for whatever reason they don't want to be my BFF, I'm not good at, right, whatever it is. I don't spend that much time thinking about it, by the way, but those pangs do come up every now and again as I scroll through, as I think about it, as I think about, people that, some of those connections. I do have friends that are colleagues, but I'm just not that person that's all always on Facebook connecting with other colleagues and in the know and all of that. And I see how, I don't want to say that that's negatively impacted my business, but it has certainly held me back from doing certain kinds of JVs, from reaching out in certain ways. And because of that, I've had to find my own ways of doing JV projects of building my platform that haven't been like, find the 10 most popular women who have the biggest communities and, you know, go from there. In many ways, I'm so grateful that that hasn't been my path because it's allowed me, number one, to find other creative ways to do JVs and to build platform. And it's really helped me understand, you know, how so many women feel about this. I don't want to go off. I hope this is helpful. I don't want to go off too much on a tangent, but I want to just bring you guys into some of the inner workings. And, you know, I'll be totally honest. There was a point about 4 years ago that I was getting myself in such a huff around JVs because it was a moment where I really wanted to build my community. And there was so much fear that was coming up when I was inviting women to support me in a teleclass or, you know, whatever I was doing, that I actually had to take a break from doing JVs. And I just decided for like 18 months I was on a joint venture partnership hiatus. I wasn't even going to consider partnering with anyone. If someone invited me to be part of something, I would do it, but I wasn't going to invite anyone else to be part of something because I was experiencing so much of my own anxiety and also disappointment at, you know, people that weren't following through or whatever it was that I knew I just needed to take a break. So I just share that with you just so you can see, like, it's okay. Whatever, you know, whatever types of issues come up, it's okay. It really is okay. But so over the years, I've done different types of partnerships, and each time I've built my confidence more and more, and each time I've felt more and more, I really have a seat at the table here. Like, there is a seat for me here that I deserve, and I'm going to sit there, and I'm going to take up that space. I want to fast forward to my most recent JV and give you some of the inner workings there. So the ritual handbook, which I'm sure you all have seen at this point, was an incredible success on many, many levels in my business. So one of the ways that it was a success is that it brought in 4,000 new women to the community, which I'm really excited about. I wasn't expecting to bring that many in. I had aimed for around 2,500 new women, so I definitely, it far exceeded my expectations there. The other way that it was such a success is that the handbook really impacted so many women. We received so many emails from women that downloaded and read the handbook that literally, like, one of the rituals or numerous of the rituals, it changed their life for them. It fixed the situation. It connected them to themselves. So on that impact level, which is another reason to always do a JV, right, that impact level, the sacred message really has to be there. And, you know, I don't do big JV projects very often. I only do them if I'm like, this is a great idea, and it's work, right? It's big work to do it. And of course, this idea came to me in the shower, like all my other good ideas came to me. But it was the power of the idea that actually gave me the courage and the strength and the willingness to get through all of the work that it takes, right, to do this, right? So I really did fall in love with this idea. But anyway, so the JV was a success, but here's what I want to share with you is that, and I'm sure, you know, because you guys are watching what I do from a business perspective, I'm sure you inspected it a bit. If you take a look at my JV partners, you know, for me with this handbook, my thing was I want a lot of JV partners because I want it to be a robust handbook. I want to reach a lot of people, so I want a lot of JV partners. But my thing wasn't let me go for the biggest women in the industry, right? It's only going to be a good JV if it's women that are at least at my level, right? Like, I could have had ego in that, whatever my level means, right, which is BS, But I think you guys know what I mean by that. Like, I could have been like, I'm only going to partner with women that have at least X many people in their community and this kind of reputation, right? Because I am Joanna Lindenbett, right? Like, I could have done that. But that wasn't my intention. Maybe if I didn't have some of the unresolved sister wounds that I have, maybe my ego would have taken over. But thank goodness, you know, my wounds keep me in check, right? And so my intention wasn't I need the women with the biggest communities for this handbook. My intention was I want to ask the women who are going to contribute deeply to this handbook. I want to ask the women who I intuitively know are the perfect fit for this handbook. And some of the women that I invited had many tens of thousands of women in their communities. And some of the women that I invited had probably, I didn't ask, but I'm guessing like way less than 1,000 or 500 maybe even in their communities. But that didn't matter to me because I knew that their ritual was going to be just a beautiful contribution. And I also intuitively knew that the right women in their communities were going to be drawn to me. And I'll share with you, it's been so interesting to watch the stats for this. The women that participated that have really, really big communities they weren't the ones that necessarily brought the highest numbers of opt-ins to this handbook. In many cases, the women who had much smaller communities actually drew way more opt-ins to the handbook and, you know, that are now part of my community. So it really, really does go to show it's not the size, right? It's not the size that matters. The other really interesting thing is we were offering 50% affiliate commission for anyone that opted in the handbook and then bought the online workshop, and the commissions largely came from the women with smaller communities, right? Just another really interesting fact. But here's the other thing that I want to share, is that there were a couple of women, I want to count, there are three women who are bigger names, who I know personally, two of them. I've taught at conferences with them, I've been with them, who I invited, and the first email I sent was a little scary, and then didn't get a response. And the second email, follow-up email, oh my gosh, I can't believe I'm going to follow up with her. Why didn't she respond to me the first time? They didn't respond, and I actually followed up a third time. And you know what? There are three women that just never responded to me. And I just want to share, like, that was, on a personal level, that was a little bit hard for me to take, right? Like, just no response from these personalized, heartfelt notes that I had sent to women who I have met before, been in conversation with more than once. I could have decided that the project was going to be shit because of it. I could have decided that I wasn't good enough, you know, that I suck, all of that. But, you know, I had my little anxiety around it, and then I pulled up my big girl panties, and I just went forward. Right? And it's like, all right, those women weren't meant to be in the handbook. I made up some of my own thoughts around how they talk so much about sisterhood and how they can't even respond in email. You know, I went all those places in my head, I'm going to be honest, but like ultimately I just came to a place of peace and just love, right? They have their own things going on for whatever reason. They're not responding. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. This is still going to be amazing. And the other thing I just want to share also is that one of the women that partnered didn't, even though she agreed to send out a solo email, she ultimately didn't promote the project at all. And, you know, we did a lot of outreach to her, and I knew she was a busy woman and all of that, but just didn't send out and decided not to respond to us. And that was also a little bit hard for me, but I also know that sometimes that's par for the course, right? And again, I could have really fallen apart over it or not. It was a choice. And my choice was just to be like, you know what? We've done this amount of outreach. She's out of integrity. I honor that she shared her ritual because I know it helped. Just her presence did help draw many, many more women into the community and to get the handbook, and just leave it be. I know I'm not going to partner with this person again. So let me pause here because I've been talking for a long time, and I want to hear what is resonating with you, what this is bringing up for you, and then what directions you want to go in with this for today's call. What would be most helpful for you? I'm totally open. Remember, there aren't that many of you, so I'd love for you to just come forward and share. So star 7, what are you hearing here that's important, that's resonating for you? What are you seeing and what are you needing that's going to help you with your JVs?
Hi, Joanna. It's Melanie.
Hey, Melanie.
Hey. What perfect timing for me on this. So I think the big thing that's really resonating for me are a couple things. One, that even though there were some hiccups for you along the way, that you still had a really successful experience with your JV partner launch, and you still called in more people than you would imagine. So I think that one really hit home for me, especially for my perfectionist who, you know, has a plan, and then I know that it's not going to be exactly like that in the end. So that was really helpful. And I think in the future, as I call in people for my next JV partner event later this year, since it's going to be online, there's people that I imagine coming in that I see as bigger names that are people that I've wanted to connect with but hasn't been a good fit because my events are more local. And so this is helpful for me, too, of playing that edge but also choosing intuitively. Like, that really grounds me. I wrote that down when you said invite women, you know, who I intuitively know are a good fit. You know, the size doesn't matter. So that was helpful. And the direction that I'll just put out there and, you know, go based on what the group wants today and for me personally in this moment will be really helpful is some of the energetics that we've talked about fits in our private session around just my own energetics on the day of. And especially since it's different in the way that it's not like I'm giving a handbook that's, you know, a bunch of people, like, energetically in the room with people, teaching in the same space as them, having that shadow come up for me. I feel like I've done some work on that since we had our private session around that, and I would like to just go deeper with that because I really do want to show up in sisterhood, and I'll just leave it at that.
Yeah, awesome. So a couple of things. First of all, I'm so glad for some of the things that you're seeing. And when you do your online JV, you know, and we'll talk more about it as you do it, but I'm so glad that you're just starting to see these pieces now because I think for you, Melanie, like, so much is going to come out of that online JV. It's going to be like you're just stepping into a new level of things in your business. And one important piece really is it doesn't all, you know, if like the big name is calling, yes, absolutely, but it really doesn't have to be all big names. You'll sabotage yourself, you know, if you do it that way. So in terms of energetics, I'm really glad that you're bringing it up because it is different. But first thing I also, you know, since we're talking about just energetics of day of, what I do also want to share for everyone, and then we'll get into the specifics of Occupy Beauty, but what I do want to share for everyone is even if it is online and it's something as simple as like you're not doing anything, but someone's just like opting into a registration page that you've already created, and that's that. During a launch period, like my launch period for the handbook was 2 weeks, it does take a lot of energy because even though you're not physically like, you know, like what you'll be doing in Occupy Beauty teaching, I was still holding the container for those 2 weeks. Right. So first there's just the technical, you know, part of the energy of like, you know, getting the stats every day, how many people opted in, which of the JV partners sent out their solo, you know, all of that. And that takes a lot. But I think even more than that, and because, you know, I think about everything in terms of like what's the container is really like there's a holding that happens during any kind of launch. I'm feeling it right now, like with the ritual training. I can't wait for Friday at midnight because I just don't want to hold that container for anymore.
Yeah,
like, I just don't want to. I'm ready to just put it aside, you know. And when you're holding the container, as you're beginning to now, by the way, since your page went live.
Okay.
It's not that you think about it 24/7 and stress about it 24/7, but definitely know that you're putting energy towards it even when you're not consciously putting energy towards it, and take care of yourself through this period.
Yeah. Good advice.
Yeah, so that being said, for the day of, where are you still seeing some niggly places around your energy?
It goes back to that same conversation of what's the balance of claiming my queen while also really inviting my partners to claim their queen and owning that this is, you know, like I've invested a lot of time and money into putting this together. It is my event. You know, so it's one of those things where it's still, it can get black and white for me. And I'm feeling it's not from my head. I'm feeling more of the middle ground with it. And I still go there because I, you know, there's this part of me that's like, well, the old pattern for me is to put that thought of this is my event in shadow and make it about other people, and then I just sat here and invested my time and money and made it about other people. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So that's my shadow right there. And then because in the past, like, I can just remember as a kid, like, I was like, fuck it, I'm a leader, you know, like, I'm the boss, and I got in trouble for that. So there's, like, that still rips a bit. You know, I can feel it in my body right now. There's still a bit of a, like, I'm not even breathing right now. Like, there's a bit of a tightening around that still.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Good. Okay. This is so great. This is a random question, but just go with me for a second.
All right.
Who are two of your favorite goddesses? Like, literal goddesses. I don't mean a woman, but, like,
who
are your favorite goddesses?
Oh, okay. I was like, what are you talking about?
Yeah. No, I mean, like, actual divine, like, you know.
Okay. Well, it's so funny that you asked that because I just went to that 10-day yoga training, and one of my archetypes or goddesses that I have been in meditation around for a while is Durga, Durga Ma. And
yep, I knew you were going to say that. Yeah.
She's been my sister. And she's really, I mean, she was there with me. I did a 40-day practice with her and that's when Adrian fired me from the studio. So, you know, it was great. And then the other one that's really been calling to me, and I actually just bought two merch tees, and they're on my altar now, is Lakshmi. So Lakshmi and Durga are my two women right now.
Yep. Lakshmi, my last 10 years, my devotion has actually been family to Lakshmi. Yeah.
Nice.
Beautiful. So let's just try this for a moment. I have a feeling this might shift things for you a bit. So I want you to close your eyes. I want you to close your eyes, and I want you to see that Durga has thrown just like a party to end all parties. She has arranged for the catering. She's sent out all of the invitations. She's created the environment. She's created a beautiful dance and performance that she's going to be doing at this amazing party. And really just see her preparing for it. And also know that Durga has invited Lakshmi to participate and to do an incredible dance and performance of her own at this party. It's Durga's party, but she's really brought Lakshmi into it. Lakshmi's helped her put this party together, and she's also going to be performing. And as you connect in, and I want you to just now move fast forward to the party, and I want you to see Durga, and I want you to see Lakshmi, and I want you to see, just really even see into Durga and how she moves and how she not only relates to Lakshmi, but how she really holds the space of these two incredibly powerful women that are both performing at this party. Mm-hmm. Knowing that she's the one that's really, she's the hostess here. And as you see this scene and this interaction and all that's going on, you can really just like see into Durga as if she's speaking to you about her wisdom here. What do you see is happening and what's the wisdom that's coming through?
Well, I see instantly when you guided me, I saw a lot of laughter.
Mm-hmm.
And I see Durga, like, it just, like, full belly laugh and smiling and, like, moving and dancing. And there's this really sweet exchange with Lakshmi. Like, there's a jovial energy in the room.
Mm-hmm.
And there's this, yeah, it's this beautiful dance. It's like, it reminds me of when I chant and there's a call and response. It's like, there's a call and then there's a response. So that it feels like that exchange.
Yeah, beautiful. Beautiful. Can you feel that energy in your body, that
yeah,
jovial and that
too.
Call and response between the two?
Yes.
And the words may not come, and it's okay if not, but like if you were to put that into words in terms of what the wisdom, what the instructions are for you, what's the wisdom that's coming through here?
The words I get is, let it be a dance. And let it be a dance. I don't need to make any meaning about that. I think I understand that personally in my body.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let it be a dance.
Awesome. Beautiful. So I'd really encourage you to come back to that scene regularly until Occupy Beauty and really bring that dance energy, the call and response, the laughter, mm-hmm. the jovial into you, that's going to mm-hmm. be how you want to, that's the balance for you. That's how you're going to want to show up. Does that resonate?
That resonates totally. Yep.
Beautiful. Good. Good. Who else? What's being stirred? You're welcome. What's being stirred up here in our cauldron, whatever, from what I've shared or from what Melanie has just shared or whatever is going on with your own JV project or where you're stuck? What are you seeing? What do you need? Star 7.
Hey, Joanna. It's Fran.
Hi, Fran.
Hi. It was actually really helpful. Thank you, Melanie, for speaking up and sharing, because I am envisioning my JV, my first JV event ever, to be in person and live, and so it's helpful to kind of hear the energy holding piece around that. And what I was also really taking in from Joanna, your sharing, was that really it sounds like the women that, you know, the numbers in the community of the women that you brought in were not as important, but actually more the way that they would contribute, the way that they would show up and participate and bring themselves really fully in a deep way. And In addition to that, that making the event more robust, like bringing several women into this JV event, it seems like also accounts for if somebody doesn't show up as fully or doesn't promote as fully or any things that may not go as smoothly.
Yeah, absolutely. I was totally banking on one person. I didn't know who, but at least one person not totally showing up. But I knew that the circle could hold it, even if the one person wasn't going to show up. So I'm so glad that you're pulling that out. Now, not all projects, I had, I think, 26 or 27, I can't remember anymore. Like, not all projects are going to have that many JVs. That's okay. This particular one called for that. But yeah, it's, it goes back to like the perfectionist piece that Melanie was talking about too. It's like, it just doesn't need to be perfect. That's not what it's about. But who you choose, whether it's four people or 40 people, choose a strong container so that that's going to be held no matter what. And what actually happened for me, which was just so beautiful, is like some of the women, they just did what I asked them to do. They send out their solo. They did their social media, and they were done with it. But there's some women who truly, like, were so deep. And I think all except for the one that was non-responsive were, they were invested in one way or another for sure, which is what I had been intending. But there's some women who were, like, uber invested in this project and went way and above in terms of promoting and sharing it with women and, way more than I expected, promoted it multiple times. That was really, really amazing. And I'm just kind of like talking off the cuff here, just different pieces as I'm remembering. One of the things I did that I think really helped build investment was similar to like how when I'm leading a group of women in a program, I think of it as a circle, and I build that container and I build that circle and I call them together. When I'm doing a group of JVs, I approach it in the same way. I'm like, this is a circle of women that I'm leading for this project, right? Like, I am the leader, and I'm literally creating a circle and a container here. So, because this was virtual, like, if this were an event like Melanie's, if I would be in the room with them, I'd actually get into a circle with them at some point at the beginning of the day, right? But because it wasn't like that, I did it through email, right? So, once everybody that was in, I sent a group email, and I just, not only, it was separate from what Talia was sending out with all of the logistics and the thank yous, but this was like, I was holding circle, I was holding ceremony, I was speaking in that, writing in that ceremony voice, and really like calling the group together, getting them excited, talking about the deep why behind this, the mission, the way that it was going to impact others, the leadership of the group. Throughout the project, I gave updates to the group. So it was like a 2-week launch, and at the end of the first week, I sent an email out to everyone. A little bit, the email was like, so if people hadn't sent their solos yet, they would. But it was to create more investment and ownership and pride, and I let people know what numbers we were at so far. And I copy and pasted some of the comments we were getting, and I spoke about the impact that was happening and brought them back into the energetic circle. And I did that, one more time throughout the project. Anyway, I'll stop. But, really thinking of yourself as the leader of that circle is helpful, too, on a lot of different levels. So was there a question that you had, Fran, in all of this?
Number one, what I was really seeing was of the people that I've started to think about, and I know I'm probably, I may not even know yet the women that I mean, like, that's one thing that came to my mind. Is like, I might not know yet if I'm in, like, in person or online, but I may be actually really actually calling in to participate in this event. But I was just considering the people that I've already started to write down that I'm just reevaluating, because while I may already have relationship with them and may think that they might make a good contribution in terms of, like, speaking and what they might have to say, I don't know what kind of a community they actually have established. And I don't mean in terms of numbers, but actually what kind of communication they have established with community. And I'm seeing that I probably, at least what my sense is want to call in people who also are leaders and will be able to easily market the event. Is that right?
Yeah, and I think what you're talking about, you know, when you talk about the quality of the relationship, is like, do they have an engaged community? Are they consistent with their communities? Do their communities pay attention to what they have to say? To me, those are all much more important questions than the actual number of people in the community.
Mm-hmm. And then the thought I had, and this is just an idea, and I'm actually curious what Melanie's experience with this has been too, in terms of doing a live event and finding a space in which to host it, could the space also be a JV?
Absolutely, without a doubt, because you're bringing X amount of people to this space, and the space is getting so much exposure just through all of the promotions. So if you can bring, you know, sometimes it's just a rental situation and that's that, but other times you can bring the space into the mix as a partner and have them promote. You still may end up paying them for the space, but if they're willing to promote, that's, you know, just a plus. Melanie or anyone else on the call, is there anything you want to add about that question? Okay. So, I'd say, like, depending on the space that you find, you know, and you can share it with me too, Fran, once you get there, it may be perfect. Sort of like the breastfeeding center is a partner, right? And they've done just amazing promotion for you in that way.
Yeah.
Good. Good.
Was
Thank
Melanie
you.
There? I thought somebody had done something.
Did somebody jump in? Are you there, Mel?
I am. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. We can talk more about this, Fran, together.
Okay.
For me, I personally in Santa Barbara have had a hard time with location in partnering. And they just want money. you know, just like bottom line, like most spaces just want money. And you might be able to find an organization that does want to support the intention of the event and can see the benefit for them. But for me personally, and I will say energetically, it's just actually nice that, like, I'm renting the space, you know. There is something nice about that personally for me. It feels clean energetically.
Yeah,
thank you
for that. And I think that is the case probably for a lot of spaces, is that they're going to want to be paid. But I think there may be some may be willing to promote. It's worth looking into. But, yeah, that's been my experience with space, too. Melanie is usually, like, they want the rental. That's first and foremost.
Yes, totally. Thank you.
Yeah, beautiful. Good. Who else? What are you seeing? What's coming? What's being stirred up for you through what we're looking at today? What questions do you have?
This is Natalie.
Hey, Natalie.
Hi. So, of course, I have no JV event anytime in the future.
I know.
But I do have one JV partner who is Devin.
Mm-hmm.
And do you mind if I ask you a little bit about sort of the cross referral of business with her? Is that too off topic?
Nope, we're a small enough group that we can.
Okay.
Absolutely.
Okay. So I had a great conversation with her just to fill you in briefly.
Okay.
I no longer feel
so
threatened
glad.
Or weird about it. Yeah.
Oh, good, good, good.
I learned.
So happy.
I have an email drafted to you just with my lessons about, like, my lessons as a leader, and also just noting about her and the way that she thinks. She just has a very different business model that operates on percentages. She makes like 30% after all of everybody is paid. She works on an hourly. So, you know, so it's really easy for her to see hourly and percentages. She doesn't, that's just her frame of understanding things. So this is what we've been talking about, and this is where we've been having sticky points is in sort of looking at the bigger business and profit sharing. But where I'm now kind of stuck, where I want to talk to you about, is in referring business and royalties. So we have an agreement. So first of all, my funnel. So I have people coming in requesting a call. My opt-in is requesting a complimentary call. And, you know, and I try to pre-qualify everybody in that call where I'm, you know, filtering people out. I ask people, are you willing to significantly invest in helping your baby sleep? And if they don't respond, I have a protocol with Janelle where she goes through and, you know, follows up two more times and then ultimately asks, if this isn't the kind of support you're looking for, would you like a referral to somebody else? Because Central New Jersey or Bensonhurst, who say, you know, don't respond or say we can't afford it. You know, I've been referring out to strangers who have never once thanked me or referred business back. So one thing that I would like to do, and the royalty agreement that we have, that I have with Devin, is that she, you know, she's got this sort of basic, really basic online and phone group that's Baby Sleep Club, and it's really cheap. But I get a 15% kickback royalty fee or referral fee, whatever you want to call it, for any business that I refer, anybody who signs up for that. And, you know, and she also is known in New Jersey also and gets referrals from her doula, and she gets work from her doula clients. Occasionally, this is just starting, where they're asking more for private work. And, you know, and like, I know it's sort of, it could be a direct competition, but there's nothing I can do about that. And I don't think that there's enough market to share. I'm not worried about competing with Devin there. So, but I guess my question is now, for any private work that she does, even if she gets the client through Mama's Best Friend, I get a 10% royalty fee. But what if I...
If she works with someone privately, not through Mommy Wise, but through Mama's Best Friend,
yeah.
but that person had nothing to do with you.
Had nothing to do with, right. I still get a 10% royalty fee because I'm still training her and I've like given her the Mommy Wise method and she's using it in her business. And she's been totally honest and like, you know, sending me royalty fees every now and again for whenever she has a private client.
Mm-hmm.
And there's only been a couple of Mommy Wise prospects who've signed up for the inexpensive Baby Sleep Club because I think the products are so very different.
Yeah.
I don't think I don't think that's a really good revenue source. And I just don't think the products are aligned. But like, yesterday somebody sent a request to Mommy Wise and they said that it was out of their price range and that they would love to know if there was someone else who we could refer to who also does private work, but maybe is a little bit, who is less expensive.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not the right words.
Mm-hmm.
They basically said
that
was out of their price range.
Yeah.
And they were both in New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And they were both in New Jersey. So the template that I've had is basically said, you know, for anyone who says we can't afford it,
well, this is very different than what we offer, but if you don't need in-home support, you're looking for, you know, just sort of remote group support, you can check out Mama's Best Friend, or not Mama's, but Baby Sleep Club, and it's all online or whatever. And, you know, those are for, like, women in Bensonhurst or Crown Heights or whatever, or the Bronx, and I have no problem sending them to her because I know that that's probably their price point. Mm-hmm. But, like, there's two of them that we got that said it's a little bit out of our price range. We would love to do the private work because we know that it would be totally invaluable. But, you know, if there's anyone else you could refer us to, that would be great. And so I'm tempted in this case to say, to have a new template that says, you know, contact Devin at Mama's Best Friend. She's also in New Jersey, and she does, you know, either, you know, an online group or sometimes offers private work as well.
Mm-hmm.
You know, or even
so
that,
I think it's a good plan,
right,
but I think you need to get a higher percentage.
Okay. So 10% referral and 10% royalty?
Yeah, so if you're handing someone over in that way, I mean, you could, if you're okay with the 10% and the 15%, if you're the direct referral, if you just feel okay
mm-hmm.
about that, then keep it.
Mm-hmm.
But if it's like regularly you're going to be handing over people to her,
mm-hmm.
You may want to look at the percentages. Particularly
right.
for the private work, is she's really doing exactly what she would be doing for you, but you're
mm-hmm.
just willing to do it for less on her own, and you're just straight over handing the person to her.
Mm-hmm.
So you may
I also have to think of the cross referral too. Like if she gets somebody in Manhattan, right, through Mama's Best Friend, who wants private sleep work, and you know. And she's looking at the referral fees both directions. If she brings somebody in, it's easier for her. She'll actually make more money
mm-hmm.
if she does it through MommyWise
yeah.
with a referral fee. Like if I
yeah.
pay her a 10% referral fee,
yeah.
she gets the commission and she gets paid for the work. She still gets paid more than if she does it through Mama's Best Friend and she has Janelle to support her.
Yeah.
So I kind of have to think of it as equal in both directions,
mm-hmm.
right?
When you say equal, you mean that she would get a higher referral fee too?
Well, no. That if, like,
oh, okay.
if she refers business to MommyWise, let's just say it's 10%. If
mm-hmm.
she refers business to MommyWise, she gets 10%, which could be as much as $740
yeah. Yeah.
on top of commission and the work.
Yeah.
Or if she places Erica in that and doesn't do
yeah.
the work and just makes money. But in the other direction, if I'm referring business to Mama's Best Friend and she takes private clients, 10% referral fee, does that seem fair? Even though her costs are less, like if she's going to, she's charging less because she's in New Jersey.
That's why I'm saying your percentage needs to increase because she's getting
okay.
$700 for every referral she sends to you, but you're getting probably with the sleep club less than $100, and then I don't know what it is
right.
with the privates, right? That's what I'm saying. I think that your commission needs to increase a little bit there.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'll follow up.
And
email
then I think there's great earning potential for the both of you because think about
right.
how many people come to you that can't afford, right? And then they just don't spend money
I
at
know.
All. But then they can go spend
yeah.
money at Devin, and the both of you can really benefit from that. And the person
right.
can benefit because
yeah.
they're getting the support. So I think if you
okay.
increase the commission fee, you're going to be much more likely to send someone that way.
Mm-hmm.
I also think it's going to
okay.
make it less of a conflict of interest for Devin when she's on the phone with someone for MommyWise.
Okay. Okay. Good.
Yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Awesome.
All right.
Good. I know there's one other woman on the call, and I realized halfway through the call that, of course, there's not as many women because I changed the date of this call, and I know that women had conflicts, but I know there's one other woman. I can't tell who it is because it's someone calling in from Skype, and I just want to hear who is that and what do you need and what are you hearing? I think
Hi,
it's
Joanna.
Viv, but I'm not sure. It is Viv. I had a feeling it was Viv.
Just quietly sitting here listening and taking it in. Well, I think, Joanna, from this, if you want to hear, I don't have any specific questions right now, mm-hmm. but I think from what you shared, first of all, really appreciate your just you sharing about, you know, the reach out and like just those thoughts and feelings that come up, because obviously that's been coming up, you know, that has been coming up for me too.
Yeah.
But the kind of the piece that you share that keeps sort of sitting with me is to let the power of the idea help me move through any of the resistance that comes up.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's going to be so important for me to just keep coming back to over and over again, and to let that be the place that I'm in when, you know, I reach out and when I do the calls and when I connect, because that's really what this is about. It's not about like whether they're going to like me or not, or whether, you know, they're, you know, it's not about any of that stuff. This is totally about the idea. And really what the event is about inspiring.
Yes, exactly. It goes back to what you've heard me say so many times around sacred message when it comes to marketing, right? If you believe deeply in your sacred message, you're not going to be scared to reach out and to follow up and to follow up, because the message and the impact that your message is meant to make becomes more important than like, oh my God, what if that prospect doesn't like me, right?
Mm-hmm.
Same here with the JV project. The impact of the project, the passion that you have for the project, the message behind it needs to be more important than like, she's not going to like me, or, you know, whatever it is.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think where I probably get the, like a little bit of pause there is that I think like deep down for me, I would love the environment piece and how, you know, how much that such that connection between our bodies and the environment and how we can really make that impact on a bigger level. Yet I still feel this, like, I feel like I'm going to like put people off with that in front, or that just not a lot. Yeah,
I've been thinking about that for you, and here's my thought on it, because I feel like you're, like, yes, other people are talking about the environment, some are, some aren't, but the environment piece is so unique to you. I think that you should mention the environment piece in the marketing. It doesn't have to be the biggest piece. The biggest piece is going to be the hormonal balance. But I actually think, Viv, that you should do a 30-minute talk as part of the summit just on environment and hormones, or 45-minute, whatever it is. Why don't you be the queen of that area and use this telesummit as a vehicle to bring more awareness to it? You don't have to figure out how to weave it into anyone else's interview if you don't want to. Put it in there by you teaching what you know about it, by you sharing your wisdom around it. Just totally sit on that throne for yourself.
Yeah, and okay. And I can still do it, because, you know, the work of each of the JV partners and how it makes an impact, not only in their clients' health, but in their lives in the bigger picture, like that's something that I can touch on with each of the different partners that I brought in.
Absolutely.
Because that totally weaves with the same idea. And then the environmental piece is really, I can really step into that. And I was thinking, like, even in the sales page, to weave the environment piece in lightly, like I literally just emailed you about this, to weave it in lightly, so that for those women who really are in that, like, who really get that and are really excited by that, that they'll be like, hey, wow, that's great. But for people
who, like, the hormone piece is really the front piece, that will be, like, it'll be more, that's what they'll kind of see and pick up and really be drawn to in it.
Exactly.
Okay. Yeah, I really like that. Because then I can ask each of them, like, how their work, when they can share with me and with the community, how their work impacts their clients' lives and impacts the world in a bigger way.
Yeah.
And it's really about kind of like really, you know, and that being the inspiring piece for each of the women who are on the call and who are there with us to be inspired by in their own lives.
Yes, exactly.
Ah, beautiful clarity. I was like, I don't know if I'm going to talk. I'm like, I'm not sure, but I'm so glad I did, you know, pipe up and ask because this feels really right and really good. And it feels like in a way where I can really bring each of them in to shine and like to really share how their work is huge and impacts, you know, it makes big impact. And at the same time, like, you know, I hadn't even until now thought about like me standing in that the environmental piece.
Yes. Good. I'm so glad. I feel just even energetically, like I feel the shift. And I feel like now it's so much easier for you. It's like there's you've cleared the path. I really see that.
Yeah, I feel like I just left like that, whatever those ping pong, like those machines are where the little ball, like that we all had in the 80s where the balls are like running around through those mazes. And anyway, like what a ping pong, I don't know. I can't remember what that was.
I know what you're talking about. That's
good. Up now floating in the sky. So that's great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Good. Any last thoughts, revelations, wisdom, sharing, or questions before we wrap for today? All right. Well,
Joanna.
Yeah, go ahead. Is that Melanie?
Okay. It is. I don't know if this is quick. I'm going to make it as quick as possible. I am going to do a potluck gathering for the JV partners that are going to be on board for Occupy Beauty before the event. And I'm really actually excited about that.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, similar to what you were sharing with Fran is, you know, my intention of that is to really bring us together in circle and sisterhood before the event itself.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just wondering if you had a really quickie, maybe you just want to email me on this, and I'm fine with that, like a quickie idea of a ritual that we can do together, because my intention is to do a ritual and then to do a chant together, and one of the women's a drummer, so I think she's going to drum with me as we do it, and that's, yeah, so if you had an idea of a ritual
I have one.
Okay.
It's so good. I love it.
Oh, good. Okay.
Okay. Here's the ritual. So they each have a stone, like one of those water stones, and you lead them through a visualization, whatever, and they each set an intention or a prayer for Occupy Beauty and for all of the women that are going to be at Occupy Beauty. And then they each write that intention on the stone. But here's the best part of the ritual. Then you take all of those stones and you place them in super, super, like, cool places all around the room in Occupy Beauty so that all of those intentions and prayers are literally infused into the room throughout the day on Occupy Beauty. Let them know that you're going to take the rocks onto your altar between the potluck and OB, and then OB, they're going to be put, or you can even give them back the rock the morning of OB and ask them to place the rock wherever they want in the room.
Ah, I like it.
Yeah.
Okay. Perfect. Thank you. That was easy.
You're welcome. Yeah.
Minute and a half. Here we go. Good job.
Super quick ritual brainstorming superpowers. Okay. Anyway, I loved this call. This was so great. I love this kind of brainstorming and just the sharing and all of that. And so I'm just sending you each a huge hug. I'm thinking about all of you, sending you love. And I'll talk to you soon. Bye.
The moderator has left the conference.